Hey gang, I'm here to tell you about the Austin Music Foundation. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect the local music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and music businesses with Austin's creative economy. Austin Music Foundation offers free education specifically tailored to today's music business climate with expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers. AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to help succeed in the Austin music industry. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved today. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. There is a rock and roll band on the show today, and they're called Blackheart Saints. They came armed with a bottle of vodka and a bottle of club soda in a brown bag. They pulled it out. I made some glasses with ice. We sat down, drank it, took a break in the middle of it, refilled our drinks, finished this bottle of vodka by the time they left that night, and had a great conversation. We talked about rock and roll. These guys are a fantastic band. They've got their debut EP just came out. You can find it at blackheartsaintsmusic.com. It was produced by my pal Omar Vallejo. They've opened a lot of shows for a lot of big bands. They played the X Games. They just opened a couple nights ago. They played Stubbs, and they played the after party with Coheed and Cambria. They're doing great, man. You can see them in Austin on May 13th at the Dirty Dog, right here in Austin. Go to Blackheart Saints Music, get their music. Fantastic conversation. These guys are really nice guys, and they're a fucking real rock and roll band. So get into it. Before we get into that, I got some feedback about the last Friday's fastball show. I got a message on Facebook from Carmela Scalzo that said, "Just finished your podcast with Tony and Miles. I have to say, this was one of the best conversations I've heard with them, separately or combined. Fantastic!" Exclamation point. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best, Mr. Gowdy. Well, I wish you all the best, Carmela. That's very nice of you to say. Also on Twitter, David Ace Gutierrez said, "Terrific interview. Learned a ton about the working relationship / friendship between Tony Scalzo and Miles Zuniga." Go back and listen to it. You know, you can find all of our episodes in our archives if you go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column. You will see the months and years, just a whole list of them. You click on each one of those, and you'll find a host of conversations from that month. I put out two shows a week, every Tuesday and every Friday. And I urge you, if you enjoy this show, like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And if you like, take for instance, if you're a Blackheart Saints fan and you really enjoy this conversation, share it on your social media. Tag us in it. Let us know that you're listening. It makes me feel great. And it makes us know that we're doing the right thing by doing this podcast. By us, I mean me. It's just me. It's a one-man operation, this show. I'm actually, before episode 600 comes out, there's going to be an interesting conversation that I put out about me just talking about doing the show for the last almost 6 years and what it's been like and some of my favorite ones and, you know, all of the challenges that come with doing a podcast. One of them is keeping it promoted. So I do urge you, please share this podcast with everyone and tag me in it. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know that you like it. Let me know that you shared it, okay? I don't know what you're doing this weekend. I'm playing a couple of shows with Skyrocket. I'm glad we're doing it in town. I want to thank a couple people sent me a couple emails because of the intro in the last one, and you could tell I was a little bit emotionally distraught. I still am. I'm dealing with it. I'm trying to figure out who I am and what I'm doing. I don't know if this happens when it's supposed to happen when you're 48, but it happens, sort of a psychic apocalypse. But I'm dealing with it, and I enjoy doing this show, and having these conversations with other musicians is always an incredibly healthy thing for me, okay? Having a conversation with Blackheart Saints and drinking a bottle of vodka is incredibly healthy for me. I really enjoyed my conversation with Josh and Mark and EL. These guys are great guys. Pick up their debut EP. Go to blackheartsaintsmusic.com. Enjoy my conversation with these dudes. I sure did. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
unless you were hoping for that.
We can make something happen.
Yeah. Okay. You guys are like a band. Like, you guys are a rock and roll band.
Rock and roll.
In the way that, like, now it's almost like it's not the norm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You sing, right?
Yes, sir.
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have an incredible voice in the tradition of what's that handsome dude's name from Soundgarden?
Chris Cornell.
Yeah, a Cornelian.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Hey. That's a huge compliment.
To your voice. Awesome. Yeah, great voice.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And so you guys did your EP and your singles as well with Omar Vallejo?
Yeah, everything.
The Omar, the one and only legend.
The man.
Yeah. How do you guys like working over there at 512?
Awesome. Yeah, Omar's great. Yeah. He's a good producer for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin as well. Yeah. He's working with him now. Yeah, doing an awesome job.
He's been working on both. Helped with both of our
engineering,
all our recordings over there. Him and Omar, but yeah, engineering exactly
for sure. Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah,
so, very fortunate.
Props to both of them.
Yeah,
and you guys, congratulations! You were one of the top 10 new bands in Austin. That was a good feeling.
Thank you, Austin, for making that happen.
How did that? Did you guys solicit like, hey, vote for us in the thing?
Yeah, I think we were doing stuff on social media and stuff.
Shameless pushing.
Share, push it, push it out, get it out there.
And we're trying to get on the radar,
do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard. Like, where is rock being? Like, there, I saw you guys were played on a Sirius station, mm-hmm. and you're opening for tons of big bands.
Yeah.
And but like where, like what outside of like Loris's show. Like, where are they? Can they play you on the radio? College stations?
Sirius has a couple of rock stations.
So, right.
You know, there's Octane. Yeah. There's a couple other stations. But, I mean, those guys right now are, like, champions of the newer hard rock. And with that said, too, like, our sound is not completely, doesn't fit in completely with some of those bands. Because some of those bands are a little heavier, a little more, I don't want to say overproduced, but, you know, so...
Well, I wouldn't even say overproduced. I'd say that there's like a songwriting element where I wouldn't say pop songs, mm-hmm. but you guys write songs that you can sing.
Yeah.
After you listen to them.
Absolutely.
Which is great. It's better than like a Cookie Monster. Is that still a thing? Is that happening?
It's Cookie Monster.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, it is. In all genres, I think it happens. A cookie cutter, like
No. I mean the Cookie Monster singing.
Oh, Cookie Monster.
Give me my cookies.
I think that's still pretty active.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, because you play with these bigger bands, but when you play with like local bands, who are you playing with? You know, like Nomad City.
Yeah,
those guys are rock and roll.
Absolutely. Who are we playing with locally?
Empty Trail.
Empty Trails, good. Yeah, I mean, it's like in the rock scene. I mean, we're playing with some pretty heavy... Well, I mean, we play with bands that are pretty heavy, I would say.
Yeah, you know? Seek Irony.
In Austin, you know.
Yeah.
So we actually go to San Antonio more than anything, because it's just a rock town, you know.
That is a rock town. Yeah. I noticed, is yours a San Antonio number?
No, that is...
Oh, I did. I'm okay. From Indiana originally.
So. Oh, Indiana?
Yeah.
Is that 281?
That's 260.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. I thought it was 210.
210 is San Antonio.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay, you're right.
Because when I saw the San Antonio thing, I was like, yeah, they couldn't just be from here. There has to be some kind of San Antonio connection going on with this rock band.
Yeah,
the drummer is from further South Texas.
Yeah. Now, is he a new drummer?
He's pretty recent.
He's the newest.
Because there's a twirling guy. Different looking guy.
Yes. Yeah. That was our first original drummer, which was from Oregon. So, but he had some family things that he had to go back to.
Okay.
So we had to move on, unfortunately.
Okay. So you come from Indiana?
I do, yeah.
Where?
Why are we?
Well, just like it's always interesting to find out what brought someone from the heartland.
Sure.
To the heart of Texas.
Well,
hey, that was pretty good.
I like it.
I should write that down. I should have drink this. Hey, by the way, thank you for the real orange.
Yeah, we like to bring
Deep Eddy vodka.
Cheers to you, man.
Cheers. You know, AJ Vallejo and I have a cooking show. Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ.
Oh, really?
And awesome.
We have a Tito's sponsorship, so we don't normally get the flavors, so it's nice to get the flavors.
Switch up a little bit.
Yeah, switch it up. Okay, so sorry.
Bring some competition.
Indiana. What part of Indiana?
Fort Wayne.
I love that town.
Obviously, you've been there.
What's the place that I played there? Yeah, I was there. I cut my finger.
Is it Pierre's?
Was I think that is Pierce.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a guy that lives here that was at that show that I know him now still. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, I mean, you know, Fort Wayne, it's kind of a bland city to grow up in.
Kind of flat.
Kind of flat. We have one of the world's largest music stores, online music store, Sweetwater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sweetwater.
That's based there, but I don't really see any kind of thriving. There was not a lot of support for like the arts, the music there.
They don't have a brick and mortar store there.
They do actually, But you just kind of saw this disconnect as far as like how did we support local music and how does that become part of our like cultural fiber that it is in Austin? You know, So especially the kind of music that we do, like hard rock. I mean, I grew up with in the scene with bands that were the Cookie Monster vocals and the. These, you know, metalcore fans.
Well, was there ever, like, is there a cross where, like, that era of music also was crossing the shit, like, at the drive-in?
You know, I think so, but I was in my own little bubble at some points. I mean, I don't know what these guys' experiences were before we met, as far as that.
We'll get to this.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of felt like I was out of time a little bit. You know, I was, like, my high school music, I mean, like, I listen to a lot of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, but that was what people, like, maybe 10 years
older. Yeah, you're young. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay.
So that's, kind of a generational, so I kind of was in my own little bubble with some of that stuff. But
Silence, this is when I appreciate the time. Okay, yeah. So you were kind of out of your element in music anyway.
The things that turned me on were different than what the people around me were getting turned on by.
Right.
To say, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Oh, in more ways than one.
Yeah, what's happened?
Yeah. Well, you know, so I was drawn to, like you were saying earlier, like just the good rock bands that had a presence, that had an energy, that had a vibe. And there was, kind of some overt masculinity going on, too. So it's like we're men and we're not afraid to say that. We're in a rock band. We're here to kick ass. We have no apologies about that. You know, we're not trying to hide our...
And have some fun.
Have some fun. A little bit of danger. A little bit of playfulness, you know. Yeah. So that's all rock and
roll. Well, there is that sort of thing that you know, in the current landscape of music, you come off like Guns N' Roses did when Appetite for Destruction came out. There's like all of a sudden there's like this, whoa, someone's like fucking throwing down rock and roll.
Sweet.
And fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, that's a good feeling when you see that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So what did you go to college or something? Or
I actually did. I went to college and I studied political science. And
man.
Yeah.
Hey. How's this whole thing going for you now as a political science major guy?
I still have the debt, you know, that's for sure. So
you what?
Still have the debt, the debt from going to school, you know, still have to pay the...
No, I mean like the current climate of politics. Jesus, current... what they'll be teaching classes in for the next, like, 20 years.
That's right. It's pretty interesting to see, Trump come in and see the reactions that are happening. I mean, I'm a libertarian myself, so, like... there's a lot of things that I don't like about Trump, and there's a lot of things I didn't like about Hillary either. So, I mean,
sure.
I didn't really have, horse in the race, so to speak. So.
Right. But now that it's all happening without your choice or anything, what does that look like when you studied it, when you studied political science from a historical perspective?
Sure.
When you look at it now, what do you think it's going to look like in history?
I think this is going to be a remarkable time. We're going to look back at this time and see how, like Trump, he's not a, your standard politician.
No, he is not.
From the outside.
He's You're
a,
right.
a businessman. So that can go either, I think they could go either direction.
It can.
You know, really. So I don't really know. I'm not going to be, fuck Trump and everything like
right,
that.
Right, right. But it is interesting to see that the American people got to a point where they're like, fuck it, just roll the dice. Yeah. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right
now.
Tired. We don't want a regular, we don't want this fucking lady in there. Just roll the dice and let's see what happens.
Yeah, we have too many Bushes and Clintons already. So, I mean, I think it was time.
Yeah, I think that, that whole thing is real weird. Okay, so you're up there. You were studying in Indiana?
In Indiana, yeah. So I did that. You know, I graduated college when I was 17, so...
You what? College?
Or I'm sorry, high school when I was 17.
Oh, I was going to say...
I think this is
fuck, man, what do you do? Now they're taking political science?
I think so. So high school, yeah. Let me backpedal on that. So, yeah, I was 17 when I graduated high school, and at that moment I was, I was still very active in music, but I just didn't have the confidence in that point to kind of... go out there and just do it. So I kind of spent some time kind of just growing as an individual, growing as a, you know, as a man, you know, I guess. So doing that, did the college thing, and then came down to Texas.
Good old Texas.
Good old Texas. It was either...
Why Austin. Texas?
Well, it was because of Austin. Okay. You know, I considered Nashville as well, but I fell in love with Austin when I visited here. Back in 2010 was the first time I came here. And it was when the Emos was still downtown. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
And just seeing the different kind of bands that were, I had really great support behind them, was just very encouraging. And just the attitudes, the can do, you know, we can make a food truck that just sells, you know, just muffins or something. And people are just, you know, they have this sort of vibe where it's very, it's infectious.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I'll start a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In my apartment.
Know? Yeah. Dreams could come true.
So why Austin, not LA or New York?
Well,
Nashville.
Well, I checked out Nashville as well, and it kind of had more of the singer-songwriter country vibe to it, you know, and that was very dominant from what I, you know, saw from the outside.
Sure.
I'm sure that there's a rock scene there. I've heard that
there is. Have you guys ever heard Bully?
Yeah.
I think they're on they're on a major label, but okay. They were on the show a few years ago. It's a female-led band.
Really?
It's fucking rock.
From Nashville. Yeah.
From Nashville, Bully. Yeah, cool. Check them out. You guys would really like them.
That'd be awesome.
Right on. I hope. All right, so then you decided on Austin. Or you decided on Austin or San Antonio?
Austin. Okay. Austin, yeah. And, you know, so I played in a couple of different projects here and there as I was kind of finding my way around the scene. And eventually met up with Josh over here. It's funny enough how I met Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah. Hey. This guy. I was at Music Lab on St. Elmo, actually, and he had a paper ad up. So
I went old school.
Old school, yeah. It wasn't just Craigslist or something.
No. Handwritten, you didn't even print it out.
Okay. Didn't print it. I just drew a little picture.
Yeah.
You did?
I looked like myself. I was like, yeah, I think this is right.
A little stick figure.
I thought you were putting it up on the wall, and then he looked, and you guys made eye contact. And then you took the poster down because you didn't even
know. That was it.
Because you found it.
So
that's right. And then... So I checked out some of his stuff online, and he kind of seemed to have the voice that I was looking for. You know, I was looking for to work with a strong singer. You know, I've worked with different kinds of singers in the past, but sometimes they didn't, stand up to what I needed them to do with the riff. You know, it kind of goes, it's a back and forth, a give and take sort of thing, I think. So
you needed a singer so that you could be the guitarist with Mystique.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I could stay back in the shadows and, you know, do my thing.
That's right.
It doesn't look like you stand in the shadows from the videos I saw, man.
No,
he was Slash looking for his Axel.
Yeah,
that's good. Slash looking for his Axel.
Peanut butter looking for his jelly, you know. That's right. Well.
So where are you from then, Josh?
Louisiana.
All right.
Yeah, Lake Charles, small town.
Yeah, yeah, I just played there.
Oh, yeah?
In February. Yeah.
Where at?
Luna? At the convention center for a party Mardi Gras.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, good it was time. Very fun. Yeah. Good times. People in costumes.
It's a good time.
Hey, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
All three of you guys, off the record. Well, on the record, but off the subject.
Okay.
That's what I mean. I'm having drinks too, listeners.
Fantastic.
Guys, I'm not like a cosplay person, and I'm not like a furry where I'm not into anything weird. I'm into just regular sex, you know?
Yeah, same here.
Okay.
Very straight to the point.
But when I'm at a thing, like one of those Mardi Gras parties, it's like 500 people or 1,000 people dressed up and like chicks that look like they're Venusian. You know what I mean? Like they're from Venus with like blue hair and shit. Their faces are painted blue. Like I get so horny. Like Halloween shows. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. Hey, get me that Raggedy Ann girl. You know? That's so weird.
So the show was good. You had a good show then. It was a good show.
It was good. I was pumped. I just didn't know if that happens to you guys.
I think my OCD would kick in. I wouldn't want to get the blue paint all over my dick. That's what it would kind of be. You
know? That could be a problem.
Yeah, it could be, you know?
I have a great story that's like 25 years old about Bob Schneider and that very thing. But, Josh.
Blue dick?
Controversy.
No. Yes. You want me to tell it real fast?
Yeah.
Okay, so I ran into Bob He was the singer of a band. You guys know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he was the lead singer of a band called Joe Rockhead at the time, and I was a band called Mr. Rocket Baby. And me and our drummer ran into him at this club, Steamboat, and we said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I want to go see what's the guy used to do the Dino Lee." Dino Lee is playing at this place called Electric Lounge. And so we're like, fuck, let's go over there. So we go to the Electric Lounge, all right? Dino Lee has backup singers who are totally naked, except for they're covered in soot or paint. We can't tell, okay? And so the backup singers leave the stage, and Bob Schneider leaves our company. And so we don't see him for like 45 minutes. The lights come on. It's the end of the night. We're like, where's Bob? Bob comes out. And we're walking out the door, and our drummer keeps on going like, "No, dude, I think they were covered in soot." And I was like, no, I think they were covered in paint. And Bob goes, "What are you talking about?" And I go, "Those chicks that were singing backup." And he lifts up his shirt, and it was soot. He fucking went back and fucked one of those girls and no was way. Covered in her color.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah, you can't wash that off.
So tell me about Lake Charles, Josh.
It's good. It's good.
Speaking of that.
It was good, man. That's where born and raised, grew up, high school, all that good stuff.
What about music? How did you find music? Is it like a Louisiana thing? Like, well, it spread into you guys?
I mean, there are some good musicians in Louisiana. I've been very fortunate to play with quite a few of them. And my dad was a singer, so, and he was into the whole, he did the whole touring and everything. He just didn't get his big break.
Did that teach you that while you do want to dominate the world and be a household name,
sure,
like a Bono, you're still like a, there's still like a level, there's still a guy that has to go out to a bar and play a show, and if that's you, then fuck, that's better than fucking typing at a desk all day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I was kind of born into it. I didn't really choose it. I guess it chose me a little bit. But because of his unsuccess, I mean, he always told me, you should maybe always think otherwise. You know, don't follow my footsteps. Go after something else.
Right.
You know, a little more safe, I guess. I just couldn't deny it. I mean, he brought me to some of his shows, and I saw him perform. It was just a cool thing to see and to kind of grow up and be able to see my dad doing that, even at an older age. And, you know, he wasn't looking for the fame anymore. He was just doing it because he loved it. And that was the cool thing about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is you're like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Like, at first you really want to be famous when you're a kid, and then as you get older, you're like, I just want to be able to do this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah. So that's a great thing. So is he still around, your dad?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay,
and he's still singing. So
he is. Super cool, do you guys ever do anything together? Like,
sometimes, I mean, we'll go play in Lake Charles every once in a while, and my dad will come out and we'll do some Led Zeppelin or something together.
Cool. Does he have a great voice like you?
He's
like
he's getting up there, you know, and he's a good chain smoker. So his voice ain't what it used to be, but don't tell him that because he'll tell you otherwise.
All right.
He'll be like, "Hey, no, son, I'm still better than you." And never forget that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, I bet in some ways just the, you know, I bet there's a part of you that's like when you're singing with him, you're like, fuck, that's the guy. That's cool. The guy that got me into this shit.
Yeah. And I mean, in his band, I mean, they had everything. They had the look, the sound, and the big hair, and
what were they called?
Maybe Kingdom. I know them. It was Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Yeah, back
that's a
in
band.
80s, 70s or something like that. So
That was a real band, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they toured and everything, but I don't think they, like I said, I mean, they were doing covers and originals and stuff on the road, but they'll be gone for 2-3 months. I mean, from the story that he's told me, they had a chance with like a record deal. The guitar player decided that he was changing his life. He was giving the songs to the band, but he wrote most of the songs, and he wrote pretty much everything. So they were losing a big part of the band. And that kind of was the changing point, I guess, you know, for them. But they were so close, and something happened.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, but man, it was super cool. Like I said, it's rock and roll. So that was like, that's all I know.
It's interesting because back in the day, there were bands like, have you guys ever seen that? There's a documentary. It's on Netflix. It's about Dee Schneider. What are they? Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. That's awesome.
That they had it, like that scene where you could go play just your fucking area and play to like 1,500 people every night. That's fucking killer. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's cool that that you. I'm so okay. So how's the touring going for you guys? How's it going around and playing shows?
Well, we actually are going to be doing our first longer tour in summer in August. We got picked to play at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Fuck yeah! See, so, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be doing that, and so along the way, we're actually in the process of confirming some dates in like Oklahoma and Kansas, Denver.
Gotta find a way to get in that. What's that fest? Oklahoma Festival?
Rock on the Range?
Rocklahoma.
Yeah. That's like the jam. You guys would be great there.
I think so.
Matter of finding the connections, yeah.
Find the gatekeeper.
The gatekeeper.
We're,
yeah.
we're doing a lot of this just ourselves at this point.
You don't have management or anything?
Not at this point.
You haven't wrote Bomar into it yet?
No.
I think he's too busy right now. You know, we need somebody who.
He's too busy playing golf.
Yeah, I know. Get off your ass if you're listening to this. We're looking for management. We're just we haven't found anybody who has approached us with a deal that's good and that they are actually, you know, they do this full time. We don't want to just
and believe in us, you know, believe in working with us and helping us get to the next stage.
Well, you guys have really done. You've really like you've got like there's a. It's no nonsense. Like it's the real deal. Like the production's there. The photos. Everything is very on the level. And you guys have obviously like the live stuff that I saw. Video wise sounds great and cool. You guys look great and so Josh, so you're in Lake Charles, dad's a singer, you start singing.
Sure.
What brought you to Austin? Lake Charles is just not gonna happen.
It's just not gonna happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but it's just not.
It's not, absolutely. Yeah. And I think from what I can remember, I think I was always told or for some reason believed that Austin was like the answer. You know, I think that's what's been told to me, like, you know, you need to be in a big city, you need to be where music comes from, okay, music capital, you know. But I always thought it was like I couldn't do it, like it was just like too far, like unachievable, like it's crazy, that's a dream, you know, it never happened. And then the opportunity landed in my lap, and I was actually in a cover band at that point. Actually had an original band in Lake Charles, that thing fell through, moved out to Lafayette. Actually, Baton Rouge, and I was playing with a cover band in Lafayette that my brother was actually part of. He was a guitar player. That didn't work out. So we found a whole new lineup, and we just started a cover band. Gave that 3 years, and the opportunity landed to move out to Austin, and I just said, man, I got to do it. Yeah. Give it a chance.
When was that?
That was maybe 4 years ago. So it's,
okay.
So I've been here pretty recent, yeah.
Still kind of fresh.
Still fresh a little bit.
Yeah.
Fresh meat.
Fresh meat. Yeah. And did you start playing on the scene or you just started putting up the signs? I guess actually, you haven't really had enough time to really.
Well, once I moved out here, I was playing like every weekend and stuff.
Back home?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was just doing the covers. It was like the first original band that I had, we were doing really well. But then I think something you learn with being in a band is everyone has to have the same goal in mind, the same mindset, it'll never
so
work.
So hard to get.
Yeah. And that's what it became. Everyone wanted to do it. They loved the fantasy of it, but then it was a hobby when it all came down to it, you know. And
like your dad's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he might have written all the songs, but when push came to shove, he wanted to. And you can't really blame someone for not wanting this life.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Not for every. I've never really gotten like when someone's like, hey, man, I'm out.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? I'm always like, yeah, good luck, dude. I understand.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I picked up and I just said, hey, guys, I got this opportunity. I'm going to go to Austin and see what happens. Moved out here. I actually took a year off. I think I was just burned out from playing every weekend and just
trying
to.
What'd you do during that year?
I was actually doing pharmaceutical sales. So I had like a career job kind of deal going on. So just kind of get my feet wet and trying to like get things in order. I met someone and kind of was doing that whole deal for a little bit, and I just kind of actually enjoyed just the simplicity of it kind of for a little while.
Regular Joe life.
Yeah, kind of, you know.
Civilian.
Just because I was so, I mean, I was for a good 6 years, I was hitting it hard.
Yeah.
You know, without much to show for it, you know.
Sure.
So this was like a good comfort deal for me for a second. Then sooner or later starts tugging at you where you're like, man, I'm missing something. I knew I was missing something, you know. It was the first time I ever quit trying to play music, kind of, or at least take a break, and it just was like pulling me in, you know.
It's like the mob.
Yeah, man, yeah, it's a drug for sure, and you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just had to get it. I got up and I said, you know what, I need to change that. So I didn't know what really to do. I just thought like, oh, well, let me just print out some flyers and go post them up. I didn't think about Craigslist or anything. I was like, how am I going to share that I'm a singer in this big city? You know, how will I get noticed? I don't know, you know. So I just did some flyers, went around, post them up. And then here calls, Mark calls me a couple of days and, hey man, I got this project, you know, I want to see what we could do.
Yeah.
You know? So, cause I had stuff on, I think social media and stuff. So I think, I'm sure he was able to check it out and he was like, I guess this is the singer that I want to work with. And he gave me a call and, the rest was history almost.
I bet with your voice in those cover bands, you had to be singing a bunch of Don't Stop Believing, didn't you?
Actually I was doing more like College Town stuff, like, 90s, like Fuel and.
Oh, really?
Dishwalla and just crazy stuff like
that.
I
don't even know what Dishwalla sang. I don't even know what Fuel sang.
Sing a little for him.
No, I know the dude from Filter.
Richard yeah. Patrick.
Two dudes. One guy had a mustache. They were my neighbors.
From Filter,
we, you know, have you guys ever heard of the Oakwood in Los Angeles on Barham?
No.
It's like a place, like you get a record deal and you go make your record in LA and then you go stay at this place, the Oakwood.
Oh, awesome.
Nirvana stayed there while they were making Nevermind. Oh, cool. Like everybody stayed there. There's 26 buildings, A through Z. It's a giant fucking complex on the street Barham. That's like going from Hollywood. It is Hollywood, but it's like going from Hollywood into Burbank. So it's like right next to the Warner Brothers studios and all that stuff. That's where it is. Anyway, what was I going for? Gonna say, God
that,
damn, man.
That guy from Filter was
yeah.
Your
oh,
neighbor.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So yeah, he was yeah. our neighbor because they were there making the I Don't Wanna Get My Picture.
Oh, yeah.
That record. And then my band was making a record at another studio, but we had a big party one night and those guys smelled our weed from down the hall like a couple nights before. And so they were like, hey, man, you guys, what band are you? And we're like, because their bands just live in there.
That's
and like
awesome.
Child actors and shit with their moms and stuff. It's really surreal.
That's crazy.
Somebody made a documentary about it, the Oakwood.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very like famous sort of like
that's
show
crazy.
Business. It's like one of the stepping stones in show business.
That's like crazy.
A milestone. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
You might want to just go get a place there just to get it. It's horrible. It's like pre-furnished, you know. They got silverware and plates and shit, like the apartments do. It's just a little surreal.
That's awesome.
Good place to get dark and lost. For
yeah, sorry, for so you were song. Singing all that stuff, and they didn't have you singing "Don't Stop Believing."
Yeah,
that's insane, man. Those guys were wasting. You would have been.
Well,
making...
I think I was still trying to find myself too. I mean, I think I don't think I just woke up and I was a good singer. I think I just trying to find my voice, and some of that was the reason. You know, it's like these are songs that I was comfortable
right.
with as well.
Right,
they knew them, and it was just quick. You know, so
right.
But my dad was he could hit some notes. You know, he sounded like Steve Perry or whatever.
That's
from
the guy
from Journey. You know,
don't stop believing.
I was like, man, I'll never be as good as him. You know, because he's just such an awesome singer.
That's exactly what he thought too.
Right.
Right. My dad sang in a band, but I'm fucking way better than him. Like,
yeah.
Way better. Yeah. Like,
does he know that?
Yeah. He's acutely aware of our musical. Yeah. Plus, I can play tons of instruments and I write songs and shit. Like,
oh, cool.
He can do a mean Mustang Sally.
Yeah. I know that. Oh, man.
And he's 71 now, so he's not killing it like he used to. And he never really had a voice. He just had the... whatever people have to be, whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm a front man too. Like, there's like a guy that's like
kind of comfortable.
Star quality. Like, that's what we call it.
Charisma.
Charisma.
That's a nice way to put it, but I always put it like the, like a fucked up, like there's this weird balance of like
cockiness and ego with like charisma.
No. Like cockiness and ego with total insecurity and self-hatred. And so, hey, yeah, you go up and be the front guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's natural.
Yeah.
It's like a certain, like, it's almost like
it's like a challenge.
It's masochistic.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel good enough about myself. I want to put myself in a position in front of a room full of people, in front of an arena full of people, a stadium full of people, and have them judge me for like an hour to 2 hours.
Yeah.
That'd be great for me right now.
Sure. Yeah. Which is never a good idea.
So how does that play into sexual fetishes then?
The costume thing? Is this back to that? Oh, just like, do you have some?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I mean, are you going
No, I was talking about like frontmen and stuff. Like, I mean, with that sort of, they have both this self-hatred, but this also this...
That makes chicks like you more, dude.
Yeah.
Because they love a fucking, like, disaster guy, you know, who...
They want to fix us.
Yeah, fix it. Fix him.
I got to fix this guy. He looks so helpful.
He's so sad. I know I can make him happy. I just join him in his sadness for a while. It's not so much like that for bass players, is it, EL?
Not so much.
It's EL and not L, right?
Me?
Yeah.
EJ.
EJ, sorry.
But actually, my initials are EL.
Okay.
So,
Oh, fuck. I wrote, dude, that was my fault. Sorry. It's EJ.
Right. It's cool.
All right.
It's only a live
The Edge. Podcast. No, it's not live. No, but I don't edit it.
That's cool.
Out of sheer laziness and hangovers. Do you guys want another drink?
Yeah,
I'll pause this show for another drink.
That'd be awesome.
Definitely.
Gotta change it. I've been doing this thing almost 6 years now.
Really?
That,
wow.
That rolling board, that's I like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of old school, isn't
it? It is old school, isn't it? Well, but I like it because, A, it's tactile, and B, you know what? In the headphone thing, there's no latency, which drives me nuts with Pro Tools. Like, I can't figure out how can you make stuff sound so good, but you can't make the headphones be in time with your singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. EJ, where are you from? Yes.
Laredo, Texas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Border town.
Yeah.
Ooh. Latin flavor. Mm.
Tell me about it.
It's your typical border town, you know. Not really. I mean, everything. There's a lot of sports, and but all the music is all Latin, you know.
Yeah.
Tejano, cumbia. Yeah. Lots of Selena. You know?
Yeah.
Which I actually love, by the way. But not too much aside from genres, you know, rock and, you know, hip hop. Not too much of that. At least growing up, it's definitely evolved. Now it's a huge, you know, metropolitan area.
I know. Do you guys know Migrant Kids?
Oh yeah.
And there a couple of guys are from there, right? And they go there and play all the time.
I think they do go play all the time. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys been down there?
I mean, we haven't gone as a band yet. Mm-hmm. Of course, I go back home and whatnot, and I brought with previous groups from that are based out of Laredo, and you know, word of mouth, or if you get the right. Promotion going, you know, it'll work. You can actually make the rock and has a scene, and you know, you can play rock shows over there and have them a good turnout.
That's cool. And you moved here for the music too?
Yes. I mean, essentially, yes. When I was in my early 20s, I was hanging out with this funk hip hop band from Laredo, and they knew that Austin was the place for that type of music, because there wasn't a big market or even like backyard partying like type thing for that. Then again, you can only play so many times in a small city before, you know, you wear down and no one goes to your shows. But anyway, they would constantly come up to Austin, and I would, you know, hang with them, roadie with them, you know, drink with them. And so I got a taste of the live music capital of the world. And you know, I always knew that I would want to eventually come back and live here. And essentially from Laredo, out of high school and after some college, moved to San Antonio, because the next big city from the closest thing to Laredo, so that's where everybody goes, San Antonio. And
it also is a good, like, I mean, I'm Cuban, I'm also Hispanic, I lived in Mexico when I was a kid. So this is by no means racist, but it's a good way station from like deep Mexico to like sort of middle Mexico, and then the rest of America.
Yeah, it's like the shallow, you know.
Yeah,
it's a nice transition.
It's still pretty Mexico-y.
Where the Tex meets the Mex.
Yeah,
it's
not Dallas. Yeah, like super white and all that shit.
I agree with you. Actually, a lot of friends from home and I joke that it's like a big Laredo, in the sense that it's still very Hispanic oriented, and but that's where you start getting the more of the mainstream America flow into it, especially you know, being a city over a million or however many people they got, like there's still a good integration. Yeah, I love of that Hispanic place. And yeah, a lot of people from the north really love San Antonio. They yeah. come and yeah. they get a, and it is a nice big city type feeling that you get when you get there. However, you know, I seem to always end up in the Hispanic versions of everything,
sure,
which is fine. I'm cool, like, you know, it works for me. Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like a good halfway point between deep Mexico to sure.
Laredo's intense, man. That's like fucking, that's the place, man. There's people coming across with pills and like,
oh yeah, yeah,
nefarious fucking cats everywhere. And
oh
like,
yeah, my brother-in-law's a border patrol, and he's out in the fields, you know, doing the work.
I'd love to get one of those dudes on my show, man. That's an adventurous job, man. I'll talk that's to fucking life risking.
Yeah, that's gonna
yeah,
happen.
It you is. Know what in I mean? Fact, my sister like was trying so hard to get him on a desk job, you know, just because he's out in the field.
Sure.
He's chasing them. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure that like the regular guys that are coming here to work probably aren't as much of a threat as los narcotraficantes that yeah, are coming across, yeah. you know.
But I mean, he's told me stories where you think it's just someone trying to get a better life type situation, and then it just goes south the wrong way, life threatening, that type of stuff. So it could be anything and everything. In fact, where I grew up, less than a mile from my house was the border, and there was a park out there, and we'd always go every Saturday or sometimes just ride on the bikes going out there. But essentially, at one point or another, every so often, we'd catch somebody running across with like bales on their back, you know, stuff like running across the park. You
bales
know.
Of weed?
Yeah, a bale of something. We right, couldn't right, tell right. what it yeah, was, yeah. but wow. usually it is. So yeah. yeah, you know, so and they drop it off in the truck that's waiting. The truck takes off. They run back. They swim back across. Like it, the river itself is not big at all.
No, you know? And it's pretty shallow a lot of yeah. it, right?
I mean, the current is strong, but if you're not a good swimmer, of course, you may not.
Did you? Was your high school time like this? Is pretty adventurous. Did you go over to Laredo
we
would
go
and get
all
down?
The time.
Yeah, it's about the donkey shows. You yeah. the donkey show?
Oh, how old were you when you saw the donkey show for the first time?
I'll be honest. I've never actually witnessed it, but I chose to not do it. Sure. I thought I would be like scarred for life.
Sure. Day.
Well, you say what? That like it was an option. Like
it is. You
had the option.
I'm with you, EJ. These Vallejo brothers. You know those guys saw it at a very weird age. All three of them.
Yeah, I don't know if I would, you know, I figured that if I witnessed that, I might end up with some weird sexual fetish as an adult.
Like,
I don't
exactly.
think I don't think
exactly.
I want to
exactly.
explore that.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw the gorilla show in Amsterdam, which is just a guy in a gorilla suit. Fucking shit.
Oh, I thought you meant the bad gorilla.
No, okay. That would be insane. It's not as nuts as you think it is. It's like it's the headlining thing, so there's a couple people fucked before it.
There's like
I will say this.
Opening up fuckers.
There's a great yeah.
She starts at 2 p.m.
Oh wait, Dave and Linda opening? Oh, I love them. I love their style. There was a guy that was totally like 70s like a Playgirl looking dude with like a thick mustache, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And like he was in the opening act of the gorilla thing, and there was a rotating bed that he was on with this lady. So I was at the bar, and this dude's getting a blowjob, and he's like lying on his side, like looking at the audience. And every time he comes around, he fucking makes eye contact with me and lifts his eyebrows, like badass, right, bro?
Oh, that's
it was the weirdest thing.
Tag me
in. I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, by the third time he came around, like I was crying. I was laughing so hard, which is probably so terrible funny. For the guy doing it. Like just having some guy laughing his ass off.
The guy was probably Omar Vallejo.
He met you with a janitor.
And that's how I met Omar Vallejo.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of Mexican dudes. But they're not Mexican. They're Guatemalan.
Guatemala.
Yeah. They just I think they just shorten it to Mexican to make it simpler for Texans.
Yeah,
like, hey, you know what?
Easy.
Don't worry about it. We're not gonna confuse you guys.
Yeah, I often get you're Mexican. I'm like, well, no, I'm Hispanic, but I'm American Hispanic.
Right.
Yeah. It just yeah. Sure, go with.
Yeah,
it.
I'm Cuban. As soon as you start speaking Spanish, then they're like, oh, Mexican guy. Hey, do you use a whammy pedal, Mark? Yeah, you do.
I do. I've got one. Well, I was using one on Superstition in the studio. Yeah. You probably heard that.
I did.
There. So probably that and a wah pedal. I really like the wah pedal as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, just good little foot effects. You know.
So they're still making whammies. Wasn't that one that this discontinued for a while in the early 2000s?
Maybe Tom Morello inspired them to put out a new version. I don't know.
Are you a fan of that guy?
He's in my my holy trinity of guitar players, I would say.
You guys are never going to believe this because it's way too coincidental. But that show where I had Brewer come up and sing with me at South by Southwest Texas Rock Fest, Tom Morello was doing his folk thing, and he was on the same bill as me.
Oh, wow.
I think that's where Adam got the nuts to start charging $25 at a free show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So yeah, and it was Morello, but he was just doing acoustic, and I know there was some dudes that went there and they were like, "No, this fucking folk singing, what?"
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but yeah, that guy's a hero, man.
He is for sure. Yeah, him, Slash.
Yeah,
Jimmy Page.
How can you not like Jimmy Page?
Yeah, for sure.
What about you as singers, Josh? Where are you at?
I would say. Chris Robertson, Black Crowes.
Oh, really?
I love the whole band.
That was weird the way I said that.
Oh, really?
Oh. Oh, okay.
So that's interesting.
Really?
Okay.
Of course, Robert Plant, some Led Zeppelin, of course. I was Guns N' Roses. Axl Rose. Just rock and roll.
He's still singing good. I saw some stuff of him singing with AC/DC that was like fucking great.
Yeah, he actually was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually a little surprised.
It's sad that we're surprised.
That belly's still there. That belly's still just like flesher.
Well, he's also got the eye thing where he's like had the operation where his eyes are just like fucking
open all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't blink.
Do you have
Kenny Rogers has that. Smokey Robinson. I did a show with Smokey Robinson a couple years ago, and he walked by, and I was like, they just looked scared because they had that like, oh yeah, make it so my eyes look open all the time, like fucking, hey I'm man, it's me, I'm freaking out about everything.
They look like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. I have an old girlfriend that does paintings that are weird like that.
That's fantastic.
That's a guy from San Antonio that did that one of me there with the tie on, Chris Taylor. You guys know that guy.
The name sounds familiar.
It's a great, great musician, great artist too.
Your skin looks a little yellow right there. Like,
yeah, I'm a little jaundiced. At that time, I was yellow.
I don't think we've had any fan portraits yet.
So. Oh, you haven't?
No, we need to get to that level.
You need some fan portraits, man.
Yeah, yeah. We've.
You guys are Austin Music Foundation Band of the Month.
Yes, right. Well, for March.
Well, for March. It moves a little slower.
Our time has passed.
It's weird because, you know, I work with them, and it's just down the street, and it's late. I think, though, that South by South, March is such a fucking
so much going on.
Weird month here. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's like this, I can do something the first week, but I'm not going to see you till the first week of April. You know what I mean? Because it's really like all... You guys do a lot of shows during. Did you this year?
Oh, we did.
We did. We did three shows. Yeah.
We said we would only do one.
Yeah.
We get roped in.
We got dragged on in.
Right after.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you could feel the effect from the being sucked dry of by South by Southwest, and then you got to do show the Tuesday after.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did a few shows during March. It's pretty hectic.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, how does your voice hold up during those? Like, are you good every
day? I think
so,
yeah. I mean, it depends on how much whiskey I drink that night, but but for the most part, yeah, I think it's all right. Holds up.
He's pretty Liam Gallagher about his voice, I would think so.
That is not a good thing to say.
Oh, well, what you said?
Like, Liam Gallagher would be like, I don't want to sing tonight. My throat hurts. Yeah, with the wine and the whiskey. Of course, he doesn't smoke. No.
Did you see the movie? Cigarettes. Did you see guys see that documentary?
I have not.
No.
I haven't seen that. It's fucking great. There's a great Liam Gallagher quote where they're like, so, you know, your brother wrote all the songs and stuff. And he was like, yeah, it worked for me, right? He said, stand over there, write songs, play guitar. I just have to stand here and look cool as fuck. It's just like, fuck yeah. You are cool as fuck, dude. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Friendman attitude right there.
That guy's the fucking shit, man. I don't care. People hate those guys. Like, people hate on those guys all the time. But I'm like, man,
They're good.
Yeah,
they're great.
They had a moment where artistically they really were great. Yeah. And they were talking shit left and right, and then when they weren't as artistically great as they were talking about, their career kind of tanked. But like, if any of us could have those two records in our pocket as like, I made this shit.
Yeah.
And I made the second one on fucking mountains of coke, and it still is great. You know, Wonderwall's even on it. Yeah. You know.
And they had some rocking tunes, you know, some actual rocking tunes, like Fucking in the Bushes, and you know.
Totally.
So
that's on a later album. That's on the...
I don't remember which album. No, I just remember that song itself.
Standing on the Shoulders of Giants or something like that.
Yes, one
of those records.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, look at you, I mean,
DJ. It was rocking, you know.
That's after they were on their way down.
Yeah, I had I used to work at Structure at the mall, which is now, I think, Express for Men. This is back when I was in high school, I think. And,
did that job come with a free dick to suck?
Pretty much.
Be honest.
No, but
everybody knows I'm not. No, I'm not a hater of any kind of gayness.
It's cool. The only reason I got that job is I needed, you know, like a weekend job, and All my friends were working there. So the reason I got hired is because I found out that there was three managers, the general manager and the two assistants, and they were all young dudes in their 20s or maybe late 20s, and they would party all the time with each other. So really, it was not really like work. We were,
you know,
getting high on the breaks and in the manager's office.
I love those kind of jobs.
The three managers, so somebody had to open every day and the other two had to go in later.
Yeah.
So, and then every day they were partying till like 3 or 4 in the morning. So One fucker was always like, tomorrow's gonna suck for you.
Yeah.
And the other two dudes were like, we're gonna be great because we'll go in later. But it was like rotate. It was a nonstop thing. And well, the reason I came up with that is because the general manager, he loved Oasis, and he like spoon fed it to us in a good way. I actually come to, you know, appreciate their music. Like you said, those two albums are
fuck
phenomenal.
Yeah,
they have a great, although as brothers they don't get together, get along well anymore. Their chemistry musically was great.
Sure.
And a huge part of that for me as far as being a fan was because of that working experience.
And yeah.
It also taught me that, you know, grown-ups aren't always grown-ups, you know. there's some people that shouldn't be managing places.
No, but... and it's interesting because did you guys ever see Saturday Night Fever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that movie's not basically about a dancing thing. It's about a lifestyle where you're living for, like those guys, they have what essentially is a dead-end job, but they're fucking living to the max every day, like Liam and Noel, you know, at the high life. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to be like
it
that.
It was really cool, I mean, for a while. Then, you know, you kind of got to change it up every now and then. And And I grew out of that job. I mean, I was like, I got to get a real job now. You know.
What do you do now?
Now I'm a dental assistant. I've been
no shit.
Yeah, I've been been my day job for a while.
That's killer.
So teeth by day, you know, strings by night. I guess slap the bass by night.
These guys good. These guys good flossers.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't given me a chance.
Into our mouths.
No, I haven't stuck my fingers in their mouth yet. At least not that they can remember.
Yeah. What about you guys, Mark and Josh? What do you guys do
to live? A dog walker.
Oh, no way. Yeah. You got to give me your card. Animals. I got dogs. Those are my two dogs right there. Oh, well, I'm staying with them, and sometimes we need walkers.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
And I run a website design business. It's freelance sort of stuff.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm the only guy in the band with like a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh does...
I do solo stuff and stuff at night. Stuff or happy hours.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Over
so like Sixth Street. I mean,
you do?
Yeah.
Someone
Tuesdays,
just on there.
Fridays, Saturdays. Like,
someone was just on here and they said, "I do that blue collar Sixth Street."
Oh yeah.
Like the, it's 3 hours.
Oh yeah.
Solo just, acoustic.
Yeah, absolutely, that's me. That guy there. Yeah. Daily.
And I feel
a
little bit of everything.
No.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. You get that? You get tourists in there?
We do.
Hey man, play some Stevie Ray.
Some Freebird. Yeah. Give me that Freebird, boy.
You know what you do to people that want Freebird?
What you got?
You play it for them.
The whole 12 minutes.
That's right. You put them through it. That's going to cure that whole Freebird thing.
You got to play the solo, even though you're the only one.
I'll do it like my mouth can be like, pew, wee, wee, wee.
All good people use their mouth for solos.
Oh, absolutely.
So you do those by yourself or with someone else?
Just solo, yeah.
How do you like that? It's great because you know what? You're doing the reps. You're getting better.
Absolutely.
Your voice is working.
Yes.
For a long period of time.
Yes, sir.
Which is important to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you're muscle, also right? playing. Yeah, you're putting in the time. You're doing the reps. You're putting in the hours on stage.
Yeah, it's actually benefited us because of his face. Like, he's a known face or, you know, very much seen face downtown. I hope you know.
Well, thank you. You know. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So they, and then when they link the two together, that he's with
Saints. This guy has a rock band. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm with a celebrity when I'm downtown with him sometimes.
Well, no.
Josh, man, are you single?
Yes.
Oh, that was a weird
because it's been rough.
It wasn't. I'm not asking for me.
I mean,
yeah, you ready to go?
No, I'm not single at all.
No.
I mean, yes, I am with someone, but it's been a bad thing for like the last half of a year.
Okay.
A year by now. So,
but I think you guys are happy. Good songs, right?
Pain. Oh. Well, yeah, you got to bring the pain.
The new ones that have been written have been fueled by such experiences,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
The new stuff.
Is it good?
I hope so.
No. What do you think?
Oh, like, the music itself? Yeah, I dig it.
Sorry, bro.
I'm waiting to finish the recording. We still got to do a little bit more, but...
Yeah. So what's coming next for you guys, recording-wise?
We just did, six songs?
We need solos and vocals.
Yeah, we need solos and vocals.
We laid down the basic tracks, and we just need to go back and...
Which will be next month, yeah.
Yeah.
So next
and we
month
got Hayden by Terra throwing down some violin, some rock violin on a couple of jams. So I don't know what exact time frame, but later this year, we should be ready to go.
Holy before.
But Stages. It'll be the first full-length, album, so 10 songs.
And you guys travel around Texas. You play San Antonio. You're playing St. Mary's Fiesta Oyster Bake.
Yeah. That's right.
You're playing April 25th at Stubbs here in Austin with Coheed and Cambria.
That's right.
Is that right?
At the party. After party.
Yeah. After party. Yeah. Either way.
We haven't made it to
you
the...
You get in free if you bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Them, so, might as well come out.
I've never heard that band.
Coheed and Cambria?
I've never heard really? That.
Progressive.
Part of me, progressive metal.
Right? I heard their early
stuff. I'd gone
stuff.
A few years without ever hearing them, but knowing their name, and then it became a thing where I was like, I never want to hear them. Just so I can be like, I've never heard
them.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't even know what they sound like. I don't know if it'd be my cup of tea. I don't think it would be.
It's like a Breaking Bad, Like, everyone started watching Breaking Bad, and like, nah, I ain't going to watch it.
Yeah.
I ain't going to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it can't be that good.
I watched it.
But I did too, yeah.
Okay.
And it was good. They're honest.
Well,
it was good.
Are you talking about Coheed?
Yeah.
Or Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, either bit.
Coheed and Cambria.
They got some cool riffs. I mean, they're not like...
Well, look, what they have is a huge audience that's going to be looking for somewhere and something to do after the thing. And all they have to do is walk in the door and instantly see you guys. And that's then thank you, Coheed and Cambria.
That's our challenge for the 100%. Night is to... Because so much of that crowd is just walking out that big gate on the side. We have to see how we can channel the most people into that little door.
Who is that beautiful woman in your video? I'm drawing a blank on the song.
Touch the Sky.
Oh.
Yes.
Jade Green.
Have her point people into the thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She should be in there.
She should say, hey, I'm going to be in there now.
Right.
And then everyone would be like, oh, okay, I will go in there as well. Men and women, everyone will go. That's a beautiful woman.
Well, hey.
I rewound that video. What
a lot of people.
I think people watch that video just because of that.
Pause the video.
Well, if his situation doesn't work out, we know who to set him up with, I guess, So we can set you up with Jade. See how that
Wait,
works.
That's your girlfriend?
No.
No.
I was like,
no.
if his current situation didn't work out, we can get Jade.
What about me? I was the one that said, I'm the one that's saying, so she said.
Well, we'll have some contest. We can make it a listener submission.
Blackheart Saints will never work in this town again. I'm going to go to the Vallejo town meeting, which happens on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock at AJ's house.
8 o'clock? Oh.
Well, you know you got the keys to the city, so.
Yeah.
Hey.
You guys should, you got a day? What other, you guys have a lot of great stuff going on. You're a great fucking band. I was really happy to hear and see you guys. I see you're also playing the Dirty Dog.
Yes, May.
That's a good place, May 13th.
May 13th?
Yeah.
Is that what 99 Crime?
Well, that's, yeah, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was it Paul?
Paul O'Dell.
Okay.
Deja Soy, so it's his new band. Mm-hmm. That's so it should cool. be good.
Well, you guys should also do a show with that Nomad City band.
You should.
With Britt and Ray. Those guys are good, yeah. That guy's a great guitar player, too. And he works at that guitar shop that has all the fancy guitars. He does.
The one off of South Lamar? Or
nope.
Where's that one?
God damn it. You guys are the ones that got me drunk.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, go to BlackHeartSaintsMusic.com for all of your Blackheart Saints need. Pick up their debut EP. Your single Gasoline is also available, which came out in September.
Yes.
Is there anything that I'm missing before we go?
We're going
to talk to you about Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. Fuck that.
No, we got some good shows coming up. So
yeah. Everyone go to BlackHeartSaintsMusic.com and find out when they're playing. Your website's really good. What?
Metallica, yeah. Yeah.
Let's
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What is that with Metallica?
Actually, I'm the last one to find out. So
we're in this online voting competition to open for Metallica and possibly even go on tour. There's some kind of thing with that. So we're trying to get everybody that to vote for us. And quick. Click the vote button, or register, and then vote.
Where do they? Can they go to that from your website?
Yeah, we have links on the website and Facebook and everything like that. So. Yeah.
BlackHeartSaintsMusic.com. Get in there. Vote for them to vote. When does the voting end? Do you know?
Wednesday next week.
Wednesday. Yeah.
So it's
this might be out after that.
Huge opportunity.
Okay. Well,
it's all good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the good news is you might be opening for Metallica.
Well, hopefully so.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your eyes out. And ears open.
Dude, fucking, it's just me and Brewer. Hey, fucking, it's me and Mars. They're just... That was a weird duo I just did.
Well, hopefully he mixes us up in a limo and he can take us out. Yeah. Take us to the show.
Yeah, you never know.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Blackheart Saints, you guys, whoa. Pick up their debut EP produced by my pal, Omar Vallejo. Go to BlackheartSaintsMusic.com for all your Blackheart Saints needs. And don't forget, they will be playing May 13th at the Dirty Dog here in Austin. Damn, I don't normally drink during this show. I never drink during this show. I've done it a couple of times. I did it that time. Wow. We finished off a bottle of vodka. Those guys sure are nice. They're fun to party with. BlackHeartSaintsMusic.com. Get there. Pick up their new EP, their debut EP, produced by my pal, Omar Vallejo. And don't forget, while you're out there online looking up Blackheart Saints stuff, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on the iPhone podcast app, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Cavecast, on almost all of the podcast apps. And you can also like our Facebook page. Also, hey, look, man, if you like one of these shows, if you're a fan of Blackheart Saints and you enjoyed our conversation, share it with people. Share it online. Tag us in it. Tag How Did I Get Here? That's our Facebook page. On Twitter, I'm at Johnny Gowdy. On Instagram, I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Share it. That's how people find out about this show, all right? Let's hear some more music from these dudes, Blackheart Saints. Thanks, guys, for the conversation. Thanks for the drinks. And I hope all of you listening have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Let's get down.